over there, over there. Send the word over there that the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are...
The American public was reacquainted with George M. Cohan's Over There in 1942 with the film Yankee Doodle Dandy. Written to inspire the country's fighting men in 1917, the song was resurrected for a new generation at war. But like millions of other World War I veterans, Frank Buckles knew Cohan's victory hymn firsthand.
The old sergeant explained to me that if I wanted to get to France in a hurry to join the ambulance service, which the French were begging for, I applied. And they sent me to Fort Riley, Kansas, for training.
Within months, Frank was on his way over there to the largest and most terrible military conflict the world had seen. The year was 1917. Frank Buckles was 16.
I was born on my father's farm north of Bethany in Harrison County, Missouri, February the 1st, 1901.
Sitting by a picture window in a Rapid City hotel, Frank readily shares his life story. Occasionally adjusting his wheelchair, there's nothing wrong with Frank's mind or his memory.
I persuaded him to let me make the journey to Oklahoma, which I did at the age of 15.
Catching the traveling bug early, Frank's father allowed him to journey to Oklahoma on family business. Once there, he took a job as a bank cashier. When the U.S. declared war on Germany the following year, Frank saw just one option: lie about his age to enlist.
I gave my age as 18 and was told by the Marine Corps sergeant that I had to be 21. I went to the Navy and they told me I was flat-footed.
Undeterred, Frank smooth-talked an Army captain into accepting him. He spent 2 years in France, first as an ambulance driver, then as an escort for German prisoners of war. Safely home from battle, Frank had a chance meeting with General John J. Pershing, commander of America's troops in Europe.
How was he?
He is the top general, I'll tell you. We didn't have anybody equivalent of Pershing.
Rubbing elbows with the rich and famous became routine for Frank. Over the next 18 years, his career as a purser took him aboard several steamship lines, one owned by the Roosevelt family.
I never met Theodore, but I did meet his wife, and she was a passenger. And every day she'd have about 100 letters and postcards to send, and she said, always stop and talk to me for a while.
Frank's jobs took him around the world. When war threatened again in Europe, Frank found a position on the safer West Coast.
Sometimes you make the right decision, sometimes you make the wrong one.
Working for a steamship line in Manila when the Japanese invaded the Philippines, Frank spent 3 years as a prisoner of war. Systematic starving, he recalls, was his captor's game plan. Liberated and stateside, Frank hung up his sea cap, married, and at 53, chose a new career, farming. He's driven the tractor on his West Virginia land ever since. Well, almost ever since.
Continued driving myself until I was 102. And I had planned to continue until 105, but my daughter interfered.
During Mount Rushmore's July 4th ceremonies, Frank Buckles was presented with an American flag in recognition of his service to his country. He says he never planned to be the last surviving World War I veteran. It just turned out that way. Oh yeah, the key to living to 107?
If you drink the right kind of bourbon and not too much of it.
A sense of humor, regular exercise, and maintaining the will to live are also key factors, according to Frank Buckles, the last American World War I veteran. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jim Kent.